Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, everybody, what's going on? Welcome to the Locked On NHL podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your host, Chris Maselli. With me, as always, on the Thursday edition is from Locked On Lightning, Mr. Adam Denker. Adam, you must be feeling pretty good, as am I, as both of our teams are in control of our series so far. And we kind of make it a point to not really focus in on our teams during the show. And we won't do that today. We have a lot of other things to get to. But things are trending in the direction of the matchup that we both wanted. So I'm liking this so far.
Yeah, we're definitely feeling a lot better than Maple Leafs fans are right now. Sorry to rub some salt in the wounds of you.
Too soon.
Had to bring it up just a little bit. But I mean, Colorado looks insane right now, just on a completely whole nother level. My Lightning are in a good spot right now against a very tough Hurricanes, so couldn't have asked for a better start. And there's still a lot more work to be done. I think we could agree on that.
Absolutely. But I think we're both feeling pretty good. So
yes.
Who's not feeling so good today would be Mark Scheifele. So we're going to get into that, and his suspension just came down moments before we recorded. We'll talk about that. We will talk about the outcome of the draft lottery, and then just playoffs in general, where things stand, and what to expect from here on out. So yeah, the Mark Scheifele hit, it's kind of, you know, when stuff like this happens, this is what everybody talks about. You don't, you stop talking about the game, and you talk about the game maybe 25% of the time, and then the other 75% is crap like this. And, you know, what's the suspension going to be? You even heard people saying, should there be a suspension? You know, which I'm just going to ignore those people. But it did come down 4 games. I guess, first of all, what was your take on the hit? Let's start there, and then we'll get into the decision to suspend them for 4 games. So what'd you think on it? I was watching it live, and I was like, oh, my God, here we go. This is not going to be fun, but go ahead.
Well, in situations like this, especially when it's a hit in a play like this, I kind of wait a while. I try to wait for the NHL or just social media in general to get all the angles of the play out there before I kind of make any real big, you know, sweeping proclamation about how I feel about it. And it's one of those hits, and I know a lot of people might disagree. It's one of those hits where, to me, my thought process on it kind of changes with every angle and every rewatch. One half of me says, yeah, that's 100% a dirty play. Game was pretty much over. He was just trying to score the empty netter. The other half of me says, well, all Mark Scheifele was doing was finishing the play. Having said that, he did skate about 196 feet just to destroy Jake Evans, which, you know, within the situation of where the game was, yes, it's a dirty play. I think if we take this hit, we put this in mid ice, or this is a very close game, I think we're talking about this in a different light. We're you know, yes, Jake Evans was stretchered off. From all accounts, he's fine. He's alert. He's just a little rattled. Mm-hmm. Probably not going to see him for the rest of the series, I would imagine. I haven't heard anything about a concussion or anything. Have you?
I haven't. I don't know how he wouldn't have gotten one, to be honest. I mean, not only did Scheifele hit him, but he also smacked his head on the ice. You know, he was wearing the helmet, but still. Yeah. So he got it from, you know, two different sides. So I would have to imagine there's a definite concussion there. But
And kind of a lot of the criticism, I think, is coming into this, regardless of what people think, is, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with still, and I can't believe we're still talking about this, is what happened with Tom Wilson and New York Rangers a couple of months ago. I think it's unfortunately with a situation like that, and then especially with what happened last week with Ryan Reeves, These things are going to keep getting pushed to the forefront of hockey news. That's just now what the NHL has to deal with what happened with Tom Wilson. But I'm very torn on the situation. I think, you know, at the end of the day, just to please everyone, the league had to suspend him 4 games. That just yet, we'll have to see how it affects Winnipeg. I mean, he's one of the leaders on that team, so it is definitely going to affect them to some degree. But I think I was expecting maybe a game and a fine at least.
I'm on the complete opposite end of this, Ben. Like I am, you know, if I want to preface this by saying, like, this is not because this has nothing to do with Kadri and the amount that he got. I'm not trying to compare or was hoping that Scheifele would get something comparable to Kadri. I'm completely separating these two things. That play is as dirty, in my opinion, as you can get. You can make that play, and you can disrupt that play in so many other ways than the way he decided to do it. He not once went after the puck. He somewhere during those 196 feet that you're talking about decided, maybe in the beginning, I have to try to stop the puck from going in so our team can, you know, still have a chance, to knowing he wasn't going to make that happen. And his mind changed somewhere during that full skate on the ice to, I am going to obliterate this man.
Yeah.
And that's the concerning part for me, is because you have no regard for, you know, I don't want to say human life, like you're out to kill the guy.
But that is the truth, if you want to be honest.
Right. Cause... Right. So, you know, you could hit him in a different type of way.
Yeah.
You can disrupt it somehow. But what he did was he was not making a hockey play. I'm sorry. You're out. You are. That is full intent to injure, 100%. And you know, I had been talking to some people on Twitter since the decision came down that you know, everybody's thrown out the 4 games is sufficient. You know, I was hoping he would get somewhere in the, you know, the 8 game based on what that hit entailed. But everybody's throwing out that, well, he doesn't have a history. I don't care about that. I don't have a history out. Because you should know better than that. And if you don't have a history, that makes it even worse, because you know better.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have a history because you play the game the right way.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you go and do that. So,
and NBC just confirmed that Jake Evans does have a concussion.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was probably, you know, taken into account with that. Now, do you think, and I guess we can move on to the next topic, unless you have more to say. I really don't. I mean, like I said, every time I look at it, I feel a different way about it. Like, given the situation that the game was in, yes, the game is pretty much out of reach for Winnipeg at that point.
Yeah.
I just feel maybe if this was in at another time in the game, as well as, you know, at another place on the ice, maybe we're looking at this in a different light. But really, the question I want to throw to you, and as well as our listeners, of course, reach out to the show, is that if we don't have what happened with Ryan Reeves, Nazem Kadri, Tom Wilson, are we looking at this play and the situation in a different light, or do we feel the same way we do now?
For me, you know, because, you know, you and I, we watch a lot of hockey.
Right.
It looks bad. It looks bad because he is just, you know, on a beeline. Uninterrupted, you know, nobody checked him along the way, and he got a full ice length, rink length, you know, beat on him.
Yeah,
it looks awful. So, I mean, for me, with all of the ones that you just mentioned, with Reeves and Wilson and Kadri, the suspensions, you take those in totality, and you're like, okay, we've really got like a full gamut of. No suspension, 2 game suspension. So no game suspension, which is ridiculous. A 2 game suspension for Reeves, which is ridiculous. A 4 game suspension for Scheifele, which I think it should be a few more, but I think a lot of people are satisfied with 4.
I think it was the regular season. He would definitely get more.
Probably get more. And then an 8 game suspension for Kadri. So we have a full gamut of suspensions, and we go back to you know, what is the metric? Everybody, it's like playing Family Feud. It's like, what's the suspension going to be for this guy?
Because yeah.
There's no outline.
Yeah.
And I know you have to take them all individually, but yeah. You know, this to me just makes the Kadri one just seem excessive. And if you know, everybody again wants to throw out the history part. Well, Kadri hasn't had a history for 18 months, which by the metric is you can't use the repeat offender if he hasn't had 18 months, but you can still use his past against him. They did. They decided 8 games for him. I thought he should have got 6. I would have been fine with that. I think Shifley should have got 6 for what he did. I thought what Kadri did was egregious, and that was horrible.
Right.
I think what Shifley did is at that level, maybe a little bit worse than what Kadri did. And I'm not minimizing what Kadri did in the least, but it's where we are. Somebody on Twitter threw out a good idea. Instead of suspending like specific games when it's the playoffs, why can't you suspend them for the rest of the series and then let them come back the following season? And that is a good idea, but you know, you don't know how long a series is going to go. So, I mean, what if this hit happened in game 6? You'd have to have some metric where it's like, you can't suspend the guy 1 game for that hit. Is he suspended for the next game? I mean, it's not a bad idea. You'd have to work out like the fine details, but it would prevent retaliations.
I just think that's a very dangerous guideline. I mean, you would definitely feel a little bit different if that was Nathan MacKinnon that was getting suspended.
It's true. It's very true. But yeah. That, that's the chances you take. So,
yeah.
All right. Let's hear from a couple people and then we'll get into the draft lottery. So rockauto.com, it's the family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. You can go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts and tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet, whether it's for your classic or daily driver. Get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your car or for your vehicle and choose the brand specifications and prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low. And the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now, and you'll see all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in there. How did you hear about us section so they know that we sent you to them? Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. It's rockauto.com. Also brought to you by Wealthfront, and investing can be complicated, but whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy. They have the right tools for every portfolio. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences that you control. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. That's wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL to start growing your savings today. Once again, wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL and get started today. So the draft lottery has come and gone. I always look forward to this, even in basketball and with hockey. I love the draft lottery. This was one of the most anticlimactic draft lotteries in recent memory. Because it, with the exception of the Ducks and Kraken flip-flopping 2 and 3, yeah, the whole thing went chalk. So I guess there was some, anticipation from the lower numbers. Because if for example, the Rangers were 15, if that first card that he flipped did not say Rangers, that's news. That's what the draft, that's what the lottery is made for. And you know immediately Rangers are 1 or 2. But it didn't happen. Everything fell in line. Buffalo Sabres get the number one draft. Like I said, Seattle flips with Anaheim. They go 2 and 3. New Jersey 4, Columbus 5. So that's your top 5. I don't know if you expect Buffalo to be number one. Are they going to screw this up or is this the start of, a new Buffalo Sabres where, I mean, they've had high draft picks for so many years. They got to start panning out at some point, no?
Well, coming into this draft, I mean, once they released the odds for, you know, which team was going to get the first pick, and of course the Sabres had the best odds, I kind of just lost a lot of interest in this, and it just really, the draft snuck up on me. I honestly didn't realize that we were this close to it.
Right.
And I didn't watch. I mean, you and I were texting back and forth when it happened, and you just casually said, Buffalo got one.
Yeah, it was not. We were talking about something else.
Yeah.
We were just going back and forth. And somewhere in there, I snuck in there. Sabres got number one pick. And then right back to our conversation. So it was almost like the Kentucky Derby. Like,
yeah.
You tune in right before they leave the gate. And then 3 minutes later, you shut it off.
And that's And I, you know, as to if they're going to turn around, well, we have to wait and see. They just pretty much cleaned house. I believe they got rid of everyone, if I'm not mistaken, in their front office. And we're going to have to wait and see. I guess the big question is more so is, and I assume Buffalo is going to take Owen Power unless they,
that's the thought process. Yeah.
Unless they completely screw this up. I was going to text you back at some point and actually say, I think for the sake of the young man coming out of college, I think it would be advisable if Buffalo trades down. I'm more curious though to see where Seattle goes. I'm not entirely sure if maybe you could probably clarify this. Is the expansion draft before this? I assume it is, right?
Yeah. Expansion draft goes first. And then this draft happens.
Interesting.
Pretty, I think, like
probably in the span of a week, I would imagine.
Less than that, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's a few days if I'm not wrong. But
yeah, I mean, I'm more interested to see where the Kraken go with this, where like teams that are and as well as the Ducks and the Devils, because the one thing that's going to be interesting is that Jack Hughes, obviously the young star for the New Jersey Devils, came out and said if his brother Luke is still around, I guess he was speaking about later in the draft, not, you know, because his brother Luke Hughes, very good player, but I don't think he's a top five pick. He wants the Devils to draft. I mean, with all the projections I'm looking at, it looks like maybe he's going to go in the top 10. I don't think he's going to go top five, but it would be cool. It would be kind of a cool story to see, even though, you know, regardless of how you feel about the New Jersey Devils, it would be cool to see, you know, if the Devils do go after Luke Hughes, and then you have the Hughes brothers, and then who knows if Quentin Hughes, if he becomes an unrestricted free agent, which I'm sure is like nails on a chalkboard to Vancouver fans that are listening to this,
right.
If we're going to see three Hughes brothers in New Jersey at some point. I'm really interested to see where the Blue Jackets go with their pick too, just because they got John Davidson back there. Did a very good job last time he was in Columbus. See where they're going to go. It looks like, you know, all things the news that came out earlier this week, if I'm not mistaken, Seth Jones is pretty much at 1 foot out the door.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see where he goes.
I would be interested to see if JD considers shaking things up. You know, usually you would probably expect Seth Jones to be moved at next year's trade deadline. But if you're Columbus, do you kind of get the ball rolling and see if you can move him for a first round pick in the top five?
Well, what's his he's not a free agent going into this?
He has one year left. So he has 1 year left.
Does, really? Oh, so he's already come out and said, I'm not signing with you.
Yeah.
After I play for you next year.
Yes.
Wow. You don't see that a lot. You don't see players go into their last season and say, you know, I mean, you can go in and say, like, you know, I'd like to be traded.
Yeah.
But you don't, I mean, that's like the saying the quiet part out loud. You don't typically hear that too much, but that's interesting.
For what that's kind of says to me, and just what you've seen with some of the moves that Columbus has made over the last couple of years, I think he's tired of just the team just being good enough to make the playoffs and possibly get by the first round. I think, you know, he's still a very young player, but he wants to win. And you can't fault them on that, as Carolina scores and is up 1-0 in the second period. We won't talk about that.
Are they?
But
you know, I think Seth Jones is, you know, he's very aware of his brand.
Yeah, he's
and I think he wants, I think I just have a feeling he wants to go to a big market. So I don't think he necessarily, everybody wants to play for to win. That goes right. without saying. I think he wants to be on a bigger stage. Yeah. And I think he's earned that. I think he deserves that. And I could see him going to a place like Los Angeles just because it's Los Angeles and that's, you know, Hollywood town. And LA's trending upward. Not saying they're going to be back in it next year, but he would help. So I think, you know, not a place like New York, they don't really have the cap room to do that, but I think teams like that would be trending upward and are in a big market. Yeah. I can kind of see Seth Jones doing something like
and
that.
And that's the interesting thing about this whole trade scenario is that there are a lot of teams that where a trade for Seth Jones makes sense.
Right.
And you can't just seclude it just to Los Angeles, even though, you know, that is a team that I think a lot of people, I mean, come on, well, pairing him up with Quentin Byfield and Anze Kopitar, and then you just have a healthy Jonathan Quick.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, I think, you know, when I say him going to LA, that would be where he would go free agent. If they're going to trade him, they'll trade him to a contender probably because a contender would be willing to give up stuff. You know, a team like the Kings is not going to trade for him. Not
right.
For next year. So, I can see him doing something like that. It'd be interesting. As far as you know, you mentioned the Kraken. I think the NHL fan base would have had a conniption if they landed the number one overall pick. I think
you
people
think
would
so?
Be shouting from the rooftops, conspiracy. And even though they switched number two, they're still in a really good spot. I think two Michigan men are going to go 1-2 in this draft with Powers most likely going number one. And then I think you pronounce his last name, Beniers.
Yes.
From Michigan as well. Pretty sure he's a defenseman. So I think he is anyway. So they could go that route. It's a good draft. I haven't fully started in on my prospects digging in yet because, you know, my team is still in the thick of things, but
right.
The ones that I do know about, it's a pretty deep draft. Might even be better than last year. We'll
from what I saw, and keep an eye out for that because Chris and I did a lot of draft coverage last year. Very college heavy this year, which you don't see too often. And I think that has to do with a lot of with like the scheduling issues with COVID up in Canada with the CHL and just around the world. But it's going to be interesting to see how teams draft. And we said it last year and we totally failed at it, but we said it last year, how teams were going to have to get, you know, they're going to have to think outside the box. But I think really this year that's going to apply more than ever.
Yeah. So, yep. All right. Well, let's hear from BetOnline and then kind of just wrap this up with the playoffs and where things stand. So betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Mr. Denker uses it on a daily basis.
Yeah, Chris, you see these gold chains? I didn't get that just like walking the streets of Manhattan and hustling. No, I went to BetOnline.
Yeah.
I made some money on some great picks.
Those are not Chinatown necklaces, my friend. baseball's in full swing. Baseball season is in full swing. You have our NHL and the NBA in the playoffs. You can even bet on UFC, MMA, get all the latest news, odds, and info on all of your sporting needs. Before the next pitch, before the next three-pointer, before the next puck drop, head over to betonline.ag on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the games as your teams prep and make their way through the playoffs in their playoff runs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up, and you will receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. So you can use that 50% bonus, cash out maybe, and then go put it all on red like Denker does every Saturday at noon. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. All right, just some playoff stuff. you know, your guys, well, how are they doing right now as we're recording this? They are
right now we're 13-16 at the 13-16 mark in the second period. Carolina's up 1-0.
Is this going to be one of those series where, you know, the home team doesn't want to win?
I hope not. I mean, it the one thing to note that it had to have happened at some point. It's the first 5-on-5 goal against Vasilevskiy in over 200 minutes.
Wow.
So
he's awesome. How does it feel just to,
I'm not even mad.
Cause... How does it feel just knowing, you know, that's the greatest feeling in the world. When you have that position shored up, it's just one thing you don't have to worry about game in and game out. That's the greatest feeling in the world for a hockey team.
It's very comforting, but at the same time, when guys see, I'm not worried about the goaltender. I'm worried about the bottom six. And that's unfortunately what a team that's, you know, as deep as this team, when bottom six doesn't perform, I start throwing stuff as they score on the breakaway once again, and Carolina's up 2-0.
Really?
Not looking good. Nikita's not having a good game tonight.
No.
Took a bad call early in the first.
So as far as the other series go, I think the Bruins Islanders series is going to be a really fun series to watch. I think that one might go the distance. Have you watched any of that series yet?
I've watched bits and pieces. I think really, you know, we've seen in NHL playoffs, home ice doesn't really mean much, but really, I mean, for the Islanders, they have one of the most craziest crowds right now, and you can really see it.
Yeah,
playing a huge factor on the ice. You know, this Islander team is a lot better than what it was last season. A lot of people thought, you know, they were kind of a one-hit wonder, but I don't. And Boston is kind of like on the downturn now, so it could go either way. It really comes down to goaltending. You know, Varlamov has kind of been kind of iffy, so that I think that's what it comes down to. If he could play like, you know, everybody knows he could play, I think the Islanders could pull this off and go back to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Do you think, you know, the up north division with the Canadiens and the Jets, the winner of that, that's the weird thing. Like, everybody was always talking about like, oh, what's the mixture going to be? And when we get to that final four, and we already know what it's already laid out, because the winner of the Canadian Jets is going to play the winner of the Avalanche and Knights. For whoever comes out of that Canadian division is the party over after that one, no matter who they go up against, between if it's Colorado or Vegas. Do they have a shot no matter who it is? Because you're riding a wave, you know, like you can't minimize momentum. And they're going to have it, either one of those teams.
There has been so much criticism that I read a bunch of articles today, believe it or not, on the North Division, about how a lot of people are sleeping on this, on whichever team comes either out, one. Just because you already had the two best teams get knocked out. So where does that leave Winnipeg and Montreal? I think Montreal is a very good team. They've been taken lightly twice in the last 2 years, first by the Penguins and then secondly by Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Winnipeg, honestly, if I had to pick my poison, if I were you guys, because I fully believe that the Avalanche could, because I don't know what Pete DeBoer is doing by not playing Marc-Andre Fleury.
I understood it.
I get it because that's been kind of the rotation all year.
It has been, and Fleury just played all seven games against Minnesota.
You can't expect him to play possibly 14 straight games, which I get it. But at the same time, this is the playoffs. It's a whole different beast.
Yeah.
And the Lightning get on the board.
There you go.
So I guess I'm going to throw this question to you, because obviously it's your side of the bracket, but yeah. And you know, your series isn't even close to getting being over. But right. Are you, if you had to pick, me personally, as you know, even though I just threw up, you know, Montreal being a great team, I'm just as afraid of Winnipeg just because of Connor. I mean, regardless, you're getting a very good goaltender, whether it's Carey Price or Connor Hellebuck.
Right.
So if you had to pick your poison, who? You know, who you prefer, or you know, you'd rather not say just yet.
No, I'll talk. I mean, it's not over. I'm not you know, claiming victory just yet. But if they, you know, are lucky enough to move on, you're right. It's like for when you get to this point in the playoffs, it's goaltending. Everything comes down to goaltending. And who out of Hellebuck or Price, who would I least like to see? Hellebuck. Yeah. Hellebuck by far. I think Vasilevskiy is the best goalie in this league. And I think Connor Hellebuck is second. So, and on top of that, I guess, you know, maybe it would be good to see Hellebuck, because then, you know, if you can get through him and then you can get through Vasilevskiy,
kind of like a pre-Vasilevskiy test run.
You've gone through Marc-Andre Fleury, Connor Hellebuck, and Andre Vasilevskiy. That's a solid run that if you're able to win the entire thing, and those are the ones that you have to beat, that's impressive.
Now, hypothetically speaking, where does that rank as one of the toughest cup runs in NHL history? I would probably have to imagine it's up there. Think about it. I mean, it's still very, very early on for Hellebuck and Vasilevskiy, but you're talking about three potential Hall of Fame goaltenders.
I mean, I'd have to go through previous playoffs and see, you know, I'm sure teams have gone on good runs and faced top-notch goaltending,
but probably
that would be a trio that's hard to beat. And if you can do that, you've earned it by far in that
now regard, so. Now, like, on my side of the bracket, and maybe this is just pure hubris, but I'm not scared of either of those teams. They beat both of them in last year's playoffs in the Islanders and Boston.
Okay.
And they swept Boston. Having said that, Rask was out of the bubble. He went home to his family for personal reasons.
Right.
And you had to face Yaroslav Halak, who still is a very good goaltender.
Right.
I would be more concerned if I had to give the edge to, would probably be the Islanders, because of what I said before with that home crowd. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. But I mean, look what Tampa Bay has done in Carolina. That's not an easy place to play.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're winning in that arena, you know, you're pretty confident. So we'll see. We'll see.
Unless Carolina brings in David Ayers to goaltend.
Oh, then you're screwed. Then we're done. Yeah. I mean, you might don't even show up. Why show up? So, all right, everybody. We'll get more of an idea next week. So, thanks for tuning in. You can follow my Avalanche show, Locked On Avalanche, LOPN_Avalanche. You can follow Mr. Adam Denker on the Twitter sphere.
You could follow the show at LO_Lightning. You could follow us on Instagram at LockedOn_Lightning. You could give me a follow at DankyDank. DNKYD8NK for the personal tweets about hockey, Jonas Brothers, and just random stuff.
You gotta get that Jonas in. All right, that's gonna be it, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. See you next week.
All right.